somewhere else you would rather be? I can't think of nowhere else in the world that I would rather be than in the house of the Lord, worshiping with some like-minded people. Is anybody other than me and Belle glad to be in the house? Now, I know I got some men in here this morning who's glad because it's Father's Day and they looking forward to them new tube socks and that new Snoopy tie. But that's not the glad I'm talking about. I'm talking about you glad because you realize that he didn't have to do it. I'm talking about you glad that you realize that it could have been you. It should have been you. But God gave you his grace and his mercy to allow you to come to the hurt. If for no other reason, fellas, you're not glad, let me give you one more reason why you should be glad. Because this morning, 19 fathers in Uvalde, Texas woke up feeling some kind of way today. 19 fathers would never look at this day the way they used to again. 19 fathers in Uvalde, Texas, life has been sucked right out of them. As you and I are in here worshiping, they're in the bed crawled up in a fetal position. Because what happened in Texas is not new to America. It was made in America. What happened in Uvalde, Texas is uniquely American. It's the same old, same old. You know how the process goes. A mass shooting takes place because an 18-year-old young man has access to something he has no business having access to. He's 18 years old and he can't even rent a car in Texas. Did y'all hear what I said? He's 18 and he can't even rent a car in Texas, but they would allow him to purchase a weapon of mass destruction. He can purchase a weapon of mass destruction easier than he can register to vote. And it's the same old, same old. The politicians get on TV and they say how distraught they are. And then they remind us that this is not who we are. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, then that's exactly who you are. And then they tell us that our thoughts and prayers are with you. Now, I know y'all ain't gonna like this new beginning, but I say to hell with your thoughts and prayers. You should have thought about that before you took prayers out of our schools. And we need some fathers who would stand up and say, I don't want your thoughts or your prayers, because the Bible says faith without works is dead, because too many of our babies are dying because we've had too many thoughts and prayers and not enough faith with works that changes policy. I didn't vote you in the office so you could pray for me. I voted you in the office so you could make policies for the betterment of my family. Is there any fathers in here who would stand up with me and say, to hell with your thoughts and prayers. I got my own prayer life. I need you to pass some legislations that will save our babies, because your thoughts and prayers are only an excuse for you to keep on doing nothing that will change this world. Our babies need their fathers to stand up for them. I know my super saved people like, he started preaching, didn't even take a text. I just had to get that Juneteenth out of me. Now, if you have your blueprints of salvation, will you turn to the book of Matthew as you stand on your feet? I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. We can open the doors of the church with that. I'm glad. Matthew 6 chapter, 9th verse. First book of the New Testament. Matthew 6 and 9. And it reads as thus. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father. That's enough. That's it. For a moment, and I do mean just a moment, I'm going to talk to you from a title, Our Father. Our Father. You may be seated, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for this day, Lord. For this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. We would not allow the devil to steal our joy because of circumstances that's happened in our lives, Lord. We refuse to give in to Satan, Lord. So we will rejoice and be glad this day, Father. Now, Father, I ask that you sit me down as you stand up, Father. Pour me out and fill me with your Holy Spirit, that your word may go forth and touch somebody, change somebody's life, that somebody may come running asking, what must I do to be glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Father. The Latin word for father is the word fondus. It translates to mean foundation. The fondus, the foundation of a thing. The Latin language suggests that the father is the foundation of the family. Everything that family is going to be, everything that family stands for, everything that family is supported and stands on is initiated by the father. As Deacon Johnson told us earlier, the woman does not become a mother without the father. The daughters have their best opportunities to know how to be treated by a man through their father. The son has his best opportunity to have a role model of what manhood is through his father. The family begins with the father. He is the progenitor. Pro meaning before, genitor meaning generation. The father generates generations. He is the source of life before life becomes life. He is the source of the seed. That's why the Bible said, be fruitful and multiply, because you cannot produce fruit without seed. There is no family without the Father. The first person in the Trinity is God, the Father, the progenitor, the creator of life. I'm talking about our Father. Now, there are several stories in the Bible that are classic Father's Day messages. When you go to church on Father's Day, there are certain passages that you expect to hear from. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, there are several Father's Day passages, and I can appreciate the ones that show how a father makes a decision to make his family better. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see a man who's known as the father of the faithful. We call him Father Abraham. He is the one who decided to obey God and take his son that he prayed for, waited for, trusted God for, a son by the name of Isaac, take him up to a high mountain and sacrifice him there. God wanted to test the faith that he claimed he had in God. So God had him take his son Isaac up on a mountain and sacrifice him. And he made the decision that he was going to obey God despite what it looked like, in spite of his circumstances. And because he passed the test of faith, the Bible says that just before he got ready to sacrifice his son, God called to him, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Over there in the thicket is a ram caught by his horns. And God provided for him there. And Father Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. In the New Testament, there's a father by the name of Jairus. He's a synagogue ruler, a man of nobility and ability, a man of wealth, a pillar of his community. But he finds himself in a situation where his 12-year-old daughter is sick unto the point of death. And he makes the decision to throw his pride and nobility aside and make his way to Jesus. And the Bible said when he makes up his mind to get to Jesus, he has to go through a crowd of people and beg Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter. Because when you have a child that's sick and there's nothing you can do to help them, sometimes daddy has to get rid of his pride and pomposity and do whatever it takes to get to Jesus to work things out for the betterment of his child. And that's exactly what this man did. He makes his way to Jesus, and Jesus makes his way to Jairus' house. But by the time they get there, y'all not gonna believe this, the little girl is dead. But Jesus has enough power to raise her from the dead, and he does. He gives the child back to the parents, and all is well. That's because the daddy had to make a decision to make his family better. Now, there's another father in the New Testament Bible. He's unnamed, but we call him the father of the prodigal son. Another one of those classic Father's Day texts. This father made the decision to release his son based upon his own request. His son wanted the inheritance that was coming to him so that he could go out and do whatever it was he was big and bad enough to do. And that boy did exactly that. The Bible says he wasted all of his money on riotous living. And I ain't mad at him, because I've also wasted a whole lot of money on riotous living. If that boy was anything like me, he probably bought himself a BMW, put some rims on it, bought a nice gold chain, put a ring on his pinky and a Rolex on his wrist, and spent a whole lot of time in Vegas. So I'm in no position to judge him. But the Bible said he spent all the money he had and found himself waddling in a pig's pen. Now, child of God, if you need to understand, no self-respecting Jewish son would ever be found in a pig's pen. But he wasted all of his father's money. And as a consequence, he is now in a place he never anticipated being. But the Bible said he came to himself. Now, I wish I had time to park there parenthetically, because there's something about when a man said, I've had all I can stand, I can stand no more. There's something about when a man comes to himself, because when a man makes up his mind, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop him. The Bible said he came to himself. And he said, I'll go back to my father's house and I'll ask to be a servant. Because the father's servants live better than this. And as he began to make his way back to his father's house, the Bible said the father saw him coming from a long ways off, because the father is always on the watch. And he didn't wait until his son got to the house. He ran out to meet his son and decided he was going to put a robe on his son's back, put a ring on his son's finger, put shoes on his son's feet, and throw a party for his son. He said, listen, I don't have time for judgment or condemnation. I'm just glad my son came home. My son was dead, but now he's alive again. A father has to make some decisions every now and then for the betterment of his family. He's got to make a decision to progress his family and make sure his children are doing well. And that's exactly what this unnamed father did. Now, new beginning. I love the story of the unnamed father of the prodigal son. However, I most appreciate the God of our salvation, our Father, our Heavenly Father, who made a decision not to leave you and I where he found us. See, if the truth be told, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and did not deserve the wonder of a relationship with God, but God decided to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to take upon himself the sins of humanity. And as a consequence, those of us who have accepted Jesus in this place today are saved because God decided to sacrifice his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm talking about our fathers. Fathers. There are some daddies who make some decisions for the betterment of their family. No matter the sacrifice, no matter the cost. And then there are some fathers who think that if they don't do it, it won't get done. Fellas, can I tell you something that every woman in here knows that you don't? Yeah, lady, I'm spilling the beans today. Every woman in here knows what one man won't do, another man will. Because God always have a ram in a bush. Ladies, you see how the fellas got quiet? It's like that, they ain't said nothing. I gotta speak fellas to them. Let me speak fellas. Fellas, you ever been watching a baseball game and the pitcher's not doing what he's supposed to do? He's throwing balls instead of strikes. And the manager comes out to the pitcher's mound and he has a talk with the pitcher and he says something like, "You got one more inning to get your stuff together." And before the manager leaves the pitcher's mound, the pitcher starts hearing a ball hit the glove because there's another pitcher warming up in the bullpen. Because God always has a ram in the bush. So if you don't want to come to church and stand on your post, another man will. If you don't want to lead devotion, another man will. If you don't want to sing in the choir, another man will. And if you don't want to be a father to your children, another man will. God always have a ram in a bush. When Adam left, Abel came. When Abel left, Abraham came. When Abraham left, Isaac came. Isaac left, Jacob came. Jacob left, Moses came. Moses left, Joshua came. Joshua left, Elijah came. Elijah left, David came. David left, Solomon came. Solomon left, Isaiah came. Isaiah left, Jeremiah came. Jeremiah left, Ezekiel came. Ezekiel left, Daniel came. Daniel left, Hosea came. Hosea left, Zephaniah came. Zephaniah left, Malachi came. Malachi left, Zechariah came. Zechariah left, John the Baptist came. John the Baptist left, Jesus came. Jesus left, Paul came. Paul left, Deacon Bell came. Deacon Bell left, Reverend Richardson came. And when Reverend Richardson leaves, God will have another man stand up in my place because God always have a ram in the bush. Now, fellas, if you don't want to be the priest, the prophet, the provider, and the protector of your family, another man will. Now, fatherhood is not defined by conception. It's defined by participation. Not all absentee fathers are deadbeats, though. Some fathers are absent involuntarily. They're not there because they're not given an opportunity to be there. Now, there are some men in here who know exactly what I'm talking about. See, most women don't understand how hard it is for a man to be a father. When all the other fathers caved in, went back, fell apart, collapsed, and fainted, you stayed here. And that wasn't easy because society kept moving the goalposts on what a good man is. See, it used to be if you were a good provider, then you were a good man. If you took care of your family, then you were a good man. If you paid the bills, you were a good man. If you brought the money home, you were a good man. But now you have to be in touch with your feminine side. You have to express your feelings. You have to listen to your inner voice. You have to cry, but don't cry too much because then you're a punk. So not only do you have to bring home the bacon, you have to fry it up in the pan and do the dishes. And that's enough to make any man want to leave. But some of you stayed until the very end. And no matter how bad your situation got, your children was always able to say, "That's my father. He may not have a lot of money, but he's here. He may not do everything right, but he's here. He may not have all the answers, but he's here. And we have some grown men walking around, not talking to their fathers because he wasn't there, while at the same time, they walking out on their family, leaving some little boy with a broken heart trying to figure out who he is, trying to find a role model, a mentor, anywhere he can, from a gangbanger to a child molester, not knowing he's being taken advantage of because he never knew what it felt like to be touched by a loving father. Daughters so fascinated with older men that they'll sleep with anybody just to see what a man feels like. She's 19 years old and don't know how to accept the compliment because she's never had a man in her life tell her that she's beautiful without wanting to sleep with her. And having an absentee father doesn't just affect little boys and girls, because there are some women who marry men who wasn't raised with the man and don't understand the nature and the signals and the characteristics of a man. And it's hard to be a good man to a woman who's never had a man in her life, because now you have to live up to what Essence magazine say a good man is. You have to live up to what her friends say a good man is. You have to live up to what she imagined a good man is. But just because you imagine it doesn't make it right. I wish you would have imagined a flawed man, because I can live up to that. I wish you would have imagined a broken man. I wish you would have imagined a man that gets tired sometimes, a man that gets scared sometimes, a man that's insecure, a man who worries, a man who's still fighting and pushing and swinging. I wish you would have imagined Clark Kent, because I can achieve Clark Kent. That's easy. I mean, I have my Superman moments, but I also have this thing called life, and that's my kryptonite. I'm talking about fathers. Our father is always there. David said, when you make your bed in hell, he's there. I went places I shouldn't have gone and he was there. I've woken up next to people I had no business being with and he was there. I did some things I should not have done, and our father was always there. I told y'all I wasn't gonna be long. I'm done. That's it. That's it. I'm done. But before I go, I want to pray with the fathers. Now, I would ask all the fathers who need prayer to come up to the altar, but we know how that's going to work. Ain't nobody coming, because we don't want nobody to know that we need anything. We got it all figured out. I can handle it. I got this. So I'm not going to ask the fathers who need prayer to come up, but I am going to ask all the fathers to please come to the altar. I'm just gonna pray with you. That's all. Biological fathers, stepfathers, godfathers, spiritual fathers, any kind of father, just come out. If you're not a father and you're a man, come up. Matter of fact, thank you, Holy Spirit. Young men, come up. Boys, come up. No, I'm gonna go a little bit further. If you identify as a man, come on up. If you ever said, I'm the mama and the daddy, come on up. Come on up. I just wanna pray with you. We just want to put the devil on notice, because he can't have our fathers no more, not one more day. Matter of fact, every father in here going to have a new mantra. They going to wake up and say, I'm glad to be in the land of the living one more time. Yeah, devil, you can't have our fathers. You got to let our fathers go. You got to let our men go. You got to let our sons go. You got to let our daughters go. You got to let our families go. You can't have our men. We just praying. Every Bible-believing mother in the house, just lift your hands this way. Lord, we come touching and agreeing that you're about to do something spectacular in the lives of our fathers and men. I speak restoration over everything that the enemy meant for evil, how he sought to tear us down emotionally, physically, psychologically, sociologically, economically. He has tried to break us down, break the genetic code that you put in us, but we bind him up in the mighty name of Jesus right now, Lord. Lord, confirm to every man under the sound of my voice that they are not a mistake. You have ordered their steps for them to be right where they are. Encourage them to know that, Lord, their latter days shall be greater than their former days. Lord, let them know that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that you are about to reveal. Lord, help them to know that you are about to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that they could ask or think. Lord, I stand in agreement with every father, every son, every man, every boy. I stand in agreement with them that you would cover and comfort and lift and encourage them to be the men that you've called them to be. I believe, Father God, that you are doing a new thing here at New Beginning in the lives, in the minds, and in the hearts of our men. God, we call them together from the four corners of the world that you will begin to loose and unleash every incredible thing you've placed inside of them. God, complete the perfect work in them that you've started. And as they themselves, as they make themselves available to you, Lord, we ask that you touch them and show yourself to be mighty in their life. For Lord, we know that we are not what we should be. But every man in here under the sound of my voice that can proclaim, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've begun in us. Thank you for equipping us with the power to bind up every generational curse that has been unleashed on our bloodline. Thank you for foiling every trap that the enemy has set for us, our young men, our sons, our daughters, our brothers. Thank you for lifting up a standard that our young men can rise to. I speak healing over their lives today, Lord, that every negative thing that has been said about them is a lie. We do not claim it because we choose to believe the report of the Lord. He is a conqueror. He is victorious. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Greater is he than he that's in the world. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Thank you for being a friend to the friendless. Thank you for keeping us when we couldn't keep ourselves. The devil is a lie. You cannot have our children, Satan. They've been covered by the blood of Jesus. And every Bible-believing man said, amen. Amen. The church is open.